Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from the first chapter of Luke, reading from chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen. Years ago, while I was visiting a friend in New York City, I attended a performance on Broadway of Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's musical, Evita. This musical, as you may know, is about Eva Peron, the charismatic and controversial wife of the post-war president of Argentina, Juan Peron. At one point in the production, there is a song called "The Art of the Possible." As a group of army officers play a deadly serious game of musical chairs, they sing about how they go about playing politics in post-war Argentina. Their approach is scheming, conniving, and thoroughly amoral. They do whatever they can to advance their interests. Politics, they say, is the art of the possible. That phrase is actually a quote from the 19th century German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck. Bismarck looked at politics as a process of compromise and calculation, a way of cobbling together something that may not be perfect, that may not be the best, but at least is possible. The art of the possible is what human beings turn to in an attempt to control events and shape the future. We humans strain against the limits of human power in doing this. We use human wit, human cleverness, and human strength in an effort to determine our own destiny. But no matter how hard we try, we just can't achieve everything we want to achieve. That is simply impossible. While human beings are scurrying around trying to practice the art of the possible, God is focusing on something completely different. God doesn't practice the art of the possible. According to the overwhelming evidence of Scripture, God practices the art of the impossible. If we read the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, we can find a prime example of that. According to what Luke tells us, in the town of Nazareth, in the region of Galilee, there lived a young woman by the name of Mary. Mary wasn't known by anyone outside her immediate circle. She wasn't rich. She wasn't powerful. She wasn't famous. She was indistinguishable from countless other Jewish women her age. If someone asked, "Who is this Mary?" the only thing you could say about her was that she was engaged to be married to a carpenter named Joseph. That was a big deal for Mary and her family, but it hardly set her apart. It was the most ordinary thing in the world. But into this ordinary life came something absolutely extraordinary. On one truly momentous day, an angel appeared to Mary. No day is ordinary if you see an angel. But it's what this angel said that took things to another level altogether. The angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The angel then proceeded to tell Mary that God had chosen her to be the mother of a son named Jesus. "This son," the angel said, "will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." To Mary, this sounded completely impossible. She was nothing but a poor peasant girl. She was a nobody. What's more, she was a virgin. How could she be the mother of this eternal king? How could something like that ever happen? The angel gave her the answer that she probably should have expected. Nothing is impossible with God. The entire Bible is based on this truth. The entire Bible rests on these words: nothing is impossible with God. Again and again in Scripture, God does the impossible. God does what we human beings could not do. God does what we human beings do not have the power to do. These impossible acts start with the creation itself, with God forming the universe out of nothing. What could be more improbable? What could be more inconceivable? Creating something out of nothing? And not just a small something, but something vastly bigger than we could ever wrap our minds around. But with God, even this is possible. But that's only the start of God doing the impossible. In the pages of Scripture, we see God doing the impossible at every turn, again and again. We see God doing what only God can do. We see this when God speaks to Abraham, telling Abraham he will make a great nation out of his descendants, and all the peoples of the world will be blessed through that nation. It seemed like God was promising the impossible, because Abraham and his wife Sarah had no children, and they were both of an advanced age. Under those circumstances, how was it at all possible that Abraham could be the father of a great nation? When God told Abraham that his wife would indeed have a son, Sarah laughed at how ridiculous the whole thing sounded. But God didn't see the humor. God said, "It's really going to happen. Is anything too hard for the Lord?" What was humanly impossible, God made possible. God gave Abraham the descendants he could only dream of. And out of those descendants, God created the nation of Israel. This nation could never have existed unless God had done the impossible. But God really did fulfill his promise, making Israel to be his own people and blessing the whole world through them. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans, Abraham is the father of us all. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Only God can do the impossible of calling into being things that were not. He did that with Israel. And he also did it with the church. From a group of scattered individuals, God made the church of Christ. He made the church out of nothing. We are the clay, Isaiah says. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. No human being could have done this. It simply would not have been possible. Along with all this, there's something else God does that would be impossible for us human beings. God does the impossible when he gives us salvation. All through human history, people have been trying to come up with ways to achieve salvation by themselves. To do this, they've tried to use man-made laws and man-made rituals. They've tried with all their human might to make themselves acceptable to God. But none of it has worked. None of it has put salvation within their reach. One day a rich young man said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You know about the commandments." The man said, "I've kept those my whole life." Jesus said, "You just need to do one more thing. Sell all you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me." The man was very sad because he couldn't do it. He had so much wealth, and he found it impossible to part with it. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." The people who heard this were stunned because this rich young man had done everything humanly possible to be saved, and it still wasn't enough. "Who then can be saved?" they asked. Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Salvation is only possible because of God. God does what we cannot. He saves us when we cannot save ourselves. With God, nothing is impossible. The impossible possibility of salvation comes about because God has come to earth as a human being. Just as only God could create the universe out of nothing, and only God could create a holy nation out of one man, and he as good as dead, and only God could save people who could not save themselves, only God could tell a Galilean peasant girl that she would give birth to the Son of the Most High. Only God could do something as impossible as the incarnation. If Mary was having difficulty believing that God could do something so impossible, she just needed to know that God was already practicing the art of the impossible. Mary's cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, and that was nothing short of a miracle. Elizabeth and her husband, just like Sarah and Abraham, were very old. But God told them that Elizabeth would have a son named John, and he would grow up to be the one who would prepare the people for the arrival of God's Messiah. An impossible birth was nothing new for God. Mary accepted what the angel told her. She accepted that her life was now entrusted to a God who does the impossible. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." The biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann says the question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" is the fundamental question every one of us has to answer. Brueggemann says, if the answer is yes, some things are too hard, impossible for God, then God is not yet confessed as God. We have not conceded radical freedom to God. We have determined to live in a closed universe where things are stable, reliable, and hopeless. If, on the other hand, the question is answered, no, nothing is impossible for God, that is an answer which so accepts God's freedom that the self and the world are fully entrusted to God and to no other. What Brueggemann is talking about is something much bigger than our own ideas of what we'd like to see made possible in our own lives. We all too easily start to think, well, if nothing is impossible for God, then I can ask him for anything my heart desires. But just because nothing is impossible for God, that doesn't mean we should be constantly saying, I want this house, this car, this relationship, this whatever. When the Bible talks about what is possible, it's not telling us we can have whatever we want. It's talking about God's promises. It's saying that nothing that God promises is impossible. If God promises it, God will do it. We can trust in him. If it is in keeping with God's promises, it will happen. This is why we can have faith. This is why we can have hope. We can have faith because God keeps his promises. We can have hope because there are no limits on what God can do. As human beings, we have plenty of limits on what we can do. But God has the radical freedom to do whatever he chooses. God has the absolute freedom to do everything that is required to bring us the salvation that we need. We still find it astounding that God would act to bring us salvation through a son born to a virgin from Nazareth. And yet, through this unlikely and even impossible way of doing things, God comes into our world and into our lives. He comes to fulfill his promises to Abraham and his promises to us. What God did through Mary, he still does today. He still appears in surprising and impossible ways in our lives, revealing his presence, offering his salvation, and bringing us life. A pastor by the name of Robert Hudnut once wrote a book about experiencing God in the midst of all the routines, the challenges, and the busyness of a pastor's life. The book was called Surprised by God. And Robert Hudnut ended it with these words. I think of the coffin on rollers and freshly dug dirt and six little chairs. I think of the young woman with laughter tumbling from her lips as she talks with her husband-to-be. I think of the little boy in an oxygen tent with his teddy bear at the foot of the bed. I think of the mother smiling the smile of first mothers as she tells of the birth of her child. And I think of myself and my being there and of God's somehow coming out of the nowhere into the now. God makes something out of nothing. God brings new life out of death. God never stops practicing the art of the impossible. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is beyond your reach. Thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Thank you for coming among us to bring us salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.